Take your Bible and come to 2 Chronicles and get on this thing of the heart. Now, you realize the heart's between your ears, and you realize the heart is where your conscience dwells. We're not talking about the physical muscle. We've been over that. The heart is where your emotions dwell, and the heart is where feelings are. And it's important to recognize those things. Now, you can get past feeling, and your conscience can get seared with a hot iron, and you can get to a point where the things that should affect you don't affect you. You can get to a point where you can steal your conscience and you can steal your emotions to the point that things that should bother you don't bother you. That's why I try to caution you about the kids and the video games and all the stuff. And I realize you think I'm crazy and out of date and lost my mind and all that other kind of stuff. But I'm telling you that a steady diet of that stuff, it does something to your heart. What goes in your eye, the Bible says, affects your what? All right, then I have to be careful what I put in there, because the Bible says that, not just the preacher. So you have to be careful what you do. Just because you get knowledge somewhere, it doesn't mean all knowledge is truth. You can pick up knowledge, I don't care who it might be from, and you may recognize them as some kind of an authority, but if the Bible doesn't agree with them, the Bible tells you clearly in Timothy, beware of science falsely so called. He tells you to beware of philosophers in the last days and the traditions of men. You say, why? Because a steady diet of that stuff will change how you think. And you know what will happen? It'll affect you and infect you to the point that you'll change your way of thinking contrary to the Bible. The Bible is written in such a fashion as it is should prick your heart. It should prick your conscience. When it comes to salvation, you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, but you have to believe in your heart. That's every part of you. That's all of your emotions. It's not just this decision. It's, I really do believe. By what? By faith. That requires you to have an understanding that it's going to affect how you live. You say, why? As a man thinketh in his heart. See, so the Lord's interested in affecting your heart, not just knowledge. There's a lot of people who know a lot of things, but being able to apply that knowledge and then understand how that knowledge lines up with your relationship with the Lord, that's something that involves every part of you. If you just go through it from a standpoint of just being what I call clinical, and you just the facts, Joe Friday used to be a guy years ago. Joe Friday was a guy on some kind of a police show, and he was known for saying, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. I just want the facts. Well, you can do that, but that's not how life is. Life has emotions involved in it. Your wife doesn't want just the facts. You know, well, I told you 40 years ago, I love you. If it changes, I'll let you know. Right? Well, the fact is, I love you. I wouldn't still be here. No, you're lying. That's, you're cheaper to keep her. You say, what does she need? Reassurance. She wouldn't mind seeing a smile on your face every now and then and a tear in your eye. Instead of just always being serious, when's the last time you treated her like you when you dated her? It's Father's Day. I'm just trying to help you out. I mean, you know, you take her out on a date and you tell her you love her. Just, yeah, I love you. Well, how about we put a little emotion in that, you know? So, preacher, that's just silly. It wasn't silly when you were dating her. When you were dating her, you ran around like a... like you were mentally deficient. And I got to stop. 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. Pick it up, if you will, please, in verse 11. Zedekiah was one of 20 years old. That's page 528 on my right before Ezra. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God that he stiffened his neck, but he stiffened his neck, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests had transgressed very much after all the abomination of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Now, here you have an individual that winds up, stiffens his neck, and he hardens his heart, even though Jeremiah is talking to him. And then the reigning king at the time said to him, listen, man, you need to swear by God you're going to do that. And he said, I'm not doing it. You know what that is? That shows that you have a free will. You can't be a perfect person without a free will. You say what? Determination of who you really love is determined by what you choose. And you will choose to serve what you love. You can tell everything you need to know about most individuals by what they love and what they hate. And those two are emotions. Those two things matter. You say what? What you love drives you. You know what he said? I love myself more than I love God. At 21 years of age, I know everything there is to know. And this old preacher, Jeremiah, is not going to tell me what to do. And that king who's been ruling and reigning, and then it winds up going out and having feathers like an eagle and claws and all that kind of stuff and eats grass and that kind of thing. What does he know about anything? That's called lycanthropy. It's like animalistic type thing. You say, what happened to him? The Lord turned him into a part animal. And then brought him back, and after he brought him back, he realized who was in charge of things. You know, God didn't kill him. God taught him a lesson, and he gave him a choice after teaching him a lesson. You know what God still does today? The exact same thing. You know what he does? He says, what will you decide to do? Choose you this day, Joshua says, choose you to this day whom you serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You still have an opportunity to choose. You can choose to do right or do wrong. It all boils down to choices. That's what makes you different than an animal. You can train an animal to choose what you want him to choose, but you let that animal just be an animal. They're called a wild animal. What do? They eat and propagate, and that's about all they survive for. It's just about, you know, making it from one day to the next. They're all considered about themselves. They don't make choices. You know, they run from you if they see you, or they're afraid you're going to hurt them and those kind of things like that. But you have choices to make. That's what the Christian life is all about. After you're saved, God doesn't take your choices away. And people say, well, the Bible's just here to brainwash it. No, the Bible's here to show you how God thinks and to see whether or not you're willing to line up your way of thinking with His way of thinking. And that's the hardest thing in the world for man to do. Man has naturally, by nature, he's a maverick. You're a rebel by nature. You don't like to be told what to do. Unless you're the one telling it. Now, you'll be mad at somebody who doesn't do what you tell them to do, but you think you have the right to decide who you will submit yourself to. That's the hard thing about it. So what you have to recognize here is here you have a young king who's ruling. He's 21 years old. That's typical. You think that's just kids nowadays. No, it's all the way back to those days. You know what happened with Cain and Abel back in the garden? Cain said, you're not going to tell me what to do. You remember the story, don't you? Cain comes up there and he offers his fruit and vegetables and the Lord doesn't take it. Abel offers the lamb. The Lord takes it. And he says to Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Don't you know if you do what I tell you to do, I'll show you the same thing? Amen. It started right there. And he said, you ain't telling me what to do. And he says, listen, just go to your brother and get a lamb and put it on the altar, all right? Just get it done, okay? And everything will be fine. Me go to my brother? Yeah, ain't no way. I'm not doing it. I'm not about to do it. You can forget it. And he said, okay, sin lieth at the door now. He warns him again. Be careful. The devil's right outside the door. He's waiting. That's what got him in trouble. Now, come on. Don't you want to just bring a lamb? Me and you will be okay? No. If I got to make it right with my brother to be right with you, I ain't doing it. Lord said, okay, well, you know the rest of history after that. Here's the thing you may not see. Study the lineage of Cain. You know what you find out? You find that lineage of Cain, based on that rebellion, comes down through there. You know where sinner shows up the first time in the Bible? It shows up there at Sodom. You say, who are they a lineage of? Cain. You say, what? Doing that which is not natural. It's not just started. It's not something that's going on now where you're seeing a resurgence of thing. That's the first two boys that were brought up in the original thing. One of them's now dead and one of them chose not to do what God said to do. You say, well, I can just stop it. After that, I'll know where to stop it. Well, the lineage after Cain, he had an impact of rebellion. You know what they said? It's not natural. Even nature itself teaches it's not natural. I don't care. You ain't going to tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what feels good. Don't tell me I can't do that. You say, what is that? You see the choice? It's hardening your heart. That thing comes into Romans chapter number 1, where the Lord gives them opportunity to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Where does that come from, preacher? That comes from an individual putting himself above God. Worship and serve the creature. That's you and me, more than the Creator. So what happens to them? The individual comes in there and says, it's my will, it's my way, it's my pleasure, it's skin for skin, all of the man hath to give for his life. If I want to do it, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what you think, I don't care what the Bible says, I'll do what I want to do. You see, where does that go? All the way back to Cain and Abel. Why, isn't that what happened with Eve?
Yes.
Well, I got one of you there. You all right? Well, I guess it was. The same thing happened with Eve. It happened with Adam. You say, what is it? It's contagious.
Right.
There is nothing more contagious than rebellion. Why do you think they used to shoot deserters in the military? Not just the people in other countries, and not just the Orientals and things like that because of Oriental customs, and not just the Germans because of the SS troops deserting after 21 months in battle and that kind of thing. The United States had a rule. If you desert on the battlefield, you say, why? It's contagious. Started way back before the Civil War, Spanish-American War. You know what they realized? You get one or two headed in the wrong direction before long, everybody's headed in the wrong direction. You say, why? In war and in battle, the communication breaks down real quick, and so you go by sight. One of the things you have to recognize is when you're doing special operations and stuff, it's almost not verbal commands anymore. You operate by touching, tapping, and by signals, and by watching that. You say, why? Those don't break down. But the comms go down, or the noise and the bangs and the screaming and the hollering, it cuts out the communication. You say, what do you have to do? You have to learn to look at what somebody's doing. Now, you're living in the last days. You know what you're seeing? You ain't going to tell me what to do. You said, preacher, this is all new stuff. No, it's not. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. The Lord said, see that tree right there? Yeah, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Don't eat the fruit of it. If they eat the olive, thou shalt surely die. She goes along. I don't know how she goes along. Couldn't tell you how many years she goes along. Somebody got to talking to her. You know what he did? He talked to her. And you know what she did? She listened to him. Don't tell me words don't move people. Hitler moved an entire nation with words. About the only thing you find about him is it looks like when he was a corporal, he might have run in some of the ditches in the First World War and done a couple of things as a messenger, but he never was much of a soldier. He never was in much battle. But boy, when it came to moving people with words, that little fella could move an entire nation. You read some of the accounts of those guys standing there, you know what they said? When he spoke, we felt as if we were burning from the inside out. We would go jump in the Danube to cool off after one of his speeches. He'd speak sometimes for 2 hours and hold people standing up, spellbound. Well, preacher, that's just demonic. No, it's words.
That's right.
The entrance of thy word giveth what?
Light.
Right? How'd you get saved? Did you see Jesus? No. You got saved by words on a page. Don't tell me words aren't important. Don't tell me why they don't want to change those words and to make a light deal about those words. What happened to Eve? Well, somebody got to tell her, well, that's not what he really meant. See, a better rendering would be, a better rendition would be, a better way to put that across would be, you know, I've studied this thing out, in my opinion, and, you know, it did came up with something exactly contrary to the Bible. Now, I realize I'm just an ignorant, dumb thump country boy, just fell off the back of a turnip truck, but I at least have more sense than some of you. If God said it, it's settled.
Amen.
And you want to listen to somebody's rendition. You know what the problem is? The problem's not the person talking. The problem's you listening. That Bible says when it comes to gossip, for instance, that if you take away the wood from the fire goes out. The Bible doesn't say the way to resolve the gossiper is to get rid of the gossiper. It says get rid of the one listening to the gossip. You dry up the supply and demand. Some of you look like you just heard that for the first time. God puts the pressure on you people that listen to that stuff. He doesn't put the pressure on the one talking. That's never going to go away. That's like bitterness. That's like griping. You can't find a way to get rid of it. It's just there all the time. A person that gripes, it's just, I don't know if it's in their DNA and RNA strand. They just gripe about everything. You could hand them a sack of gold, they gripe because they got to take it to the bank and it weighs too much and they got to cash it. You've been around people like that? They just gripe about everything. You get up in the morning and you say, hey, morning, how you doing? Oh, it was a terrible night last night. There was a lump in the mattress. Man, it was so bad. My back hurts. My legs hurt. My knees hurt. My head aches. go back to bed and get up on the other side. I remember coming down to breakfast with my mama sometimes. She'd have breakfast ready and all that kind of stuff and get up and be a little bit grumpy, you know, in the morning. And she'd make a statement, joking around and stuff like that. But it was a subtle way of saying, you better change your attitude before daddy comes to the table. You know, you come like that. She'd say, you need to go back to bed and get up on the other side. You got up on the wrong side of the bed. You ever catch yourself? You're so interested in taping everybody and listening to everybody and fooling around. Turn on your recorder thing and listen to yourself during the day. You complain about the traffic. It's hot. It's so hot. It's so humid. We haven't had any rain. I don't know how long it's been since it's rained. We was having a drought around here. I don't know what we're going to do. Did you see the price of eggs today? Oh, my goodness. I don't know. What in the world? Gasoline's $5 a gallon. Anything positive yet? Well, I don't know. I did manage to go to Starbucks and burned $1 worth of gas waiting in line. Because you're too lazy to get out of the car because it's hot outside and you might have to walk inside the restaurant while you shut your car off, right? Unless you got one of those things where you as soon as you stop for a certain amount of second, the car turns off. In my days, that meant that something was wrong with the car. And nowadays, it's like, oh, I hope it starts again, you know, that kind of a thing. And then you get ready to hit it. And so y'all are used to that stuff. If that has a switch on it, I don't know if it does, I'd turn the thing off. You say, why? Well, no, everything stops working. Well, no, the air conditioner continues to run. Okay, turn your car off and see how long your air conditioner keeps running. 95 degrees outside and 100% humidity, and people are griping and complaining. Move to Alaska.
There you go.
Really, move to Alaska. I mean, they don't have much landscaping and stuff. They got beautiful country up there. Move to Alaska, you say, what do they get? They get about 3 months that it's not 50 below. And if you don't think it's irritating to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night and the sun's still shining, but that, they get the opposite side of that. They get plenty of darkness. They get so much darkness, they got to have special lights up there so that they don't go stir crazy because they don't have any light going on. You say, what? It stays dark then. They get all dark and they get all light, and somewhere in there they get about a month of halfway in between. But after that, it's entirely different. You ever recognize how much you gripe? You ever pay much attention to it? You ever recognize that when you gripe, you find yourself around other gripers? You think to yourself, man, all those people will ever do is gripe. Well, then how come they're hanging out with you? You must have something in common. You say, what's the problem? You say, well, the problem's griping. That isn't the problem. The problem's your heart. The Lord says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's directly contrary to griping. Fella falls down 3 or 4 flights of stairs and the fellows are laughing and cutting up and clowning around. You've heard me tell it before because he's always saying praise the Lord about everything. And they get down there and they're laughing in his face and they're down there in front of him. Let me hear you say praise the Lord for that. And he gets up, he's all busted up and his suit's torn and got, you know, scrapes and abrasions on him. And he stands up and he brushes himself off. He says, well, praise the Lord, that's over with for today. Be good for some Christians to get a hold of that.
Yes, sir.
You say, how do you do it? It's not just fixing your speech. Because out of the abundance of the heart, that's why you're a griper. That's why you're bitter. That's why you listen to gossip. You know why you like to listen to gossip? Because you'd rather somebody else be talked about than you. And you figure as long as somebody else is being discussed, then they won't be discussing you. You trust me when I tell you, reaping and sowing will come back around. You know what you find out? You find if you're listening to gospel, it won't be long before they'll be talking about you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's people here that have been here for years and years and years, and they're never talked about. Why is that? And why are you always talked about?
There you go.
Mm-hmm. It's the people. I know it's the people. It's the people. It's always the people, isn't it? You got a heart problem. That's what the problem is. Mark chapter number 6. Mark 6. It's making sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Preacher, I never heard such foolishness in my life. Well, it's time you heard it. Time you listened to it. It's not happenstance we're dealing with the stuff right now. It's just there's been a misunderstanding for a long period of time that when the Lord says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, we don't listen to what He says. It's the way you think. You ever hear what when the Lord says something and you say, well, I know what it says, but... You ever catch yourself doing that? You know where that comes from? Oh, yeah, preacher, it's a wicked heart. Yeah, but it's a little more than that. You know where that comes from? That comes directly from the heart of the devil. That Bible says that you were perfect in wisdom and beauty until iniquity was found in thee. Where do you think the iniquity was found? Is the way he thought. You say, what does he do when he comes to tempt Eve in the garden? You know what he says? God said that. You know what he says? Yea, hath God said. You ever catch yourself when God says something and you say, well, I know what it says, but. They asked Coolidge one time, you've heard the illustration a multitude of times. They asked him one time, do you believe the Bible? He said, yeah, I believe the Bible. He said, do you understand all of it? He said, no. He said, it's not the parts I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do. Always worried about, you know, well, you can't understand everything. Okay, well, who can? That's God's mind on paper. You're not, Einstein couldn't even figure the thing out. You say, why? That's God. The things that are given to you, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, are given to you by the Spirit of God. They're not given to you by just intellect. You can have somebody teach you, but God has to open up your understanding in order for you to grab it. It's not just a matter of learning something out of a book. It's a supernatural book. Hebrews 4:12 shows you it's supernatural. If you got a problem with understanding the Bible, the first thing you have to do is not check the commentary, is check your heart. If you're not in fellowship with the Lord, He's not going to reveal things to you. I know that's hard for you to grab a hold of, but man has gotten to the point where he sees himself as so great and so intellectual that he thinks he can take a supernatural book, and because of the amount of time that it's been around, there has to be something better, and man becomes the center of the universe. They'll tell you these things like that. Well, you know, in this particular passage here, we know that over here it says Matthew 12, it'll say, or Matthew, I guess it'll be 9, where it'll say the Son of God there, and all the other versions change it to the Son of Man. You say they're the same thing. One of them's a reference to His deity. One of them's a reference to His humanity. You say, well, what's the big deal about it? You know what they tell you? Well, we have to check the critical apparatus. Well, what if the critical apparatus is not the right one that lines up with the King James? You use the one that lines up with the New American Standard. Yep. You say, well, do you always go by what the critical apparatus says? Do you always go by it? Has it become the standard? No, I don't always go by the critical apparatus. Well, then who's the authority? Amen. You get to choose when you go by it or don't? Right. Why don't you just stick with the King James? Leave it alone.
Amen.
It's written the right way. Why do you want to mess with that? I can tell you why. It's a simple answer. Really, it is. It's a simple answer. It is a man that is saying, God's not going to tell me what to do. I'm smarter than that. That's why it's hard sometimes for people to get saved. You say, why? Because it's so simple. And you have to just yield and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that You came to die for sinners, and You came to die for me, and I'm trusting You as my personal Savior, and by faith I'm trusting the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. I want to be saved. And they say, no, got to be more than that. No, that mind of yours will run you in a ditch. Well, there's just got to be more to it than that. You better thank God there's not more to it than that. You see, the problem is how you think. You say, well, where's your think? That's where your heart is. That's where your heart is. It's how you think. And that's when you get a person's mind that gets messed up in their mind. Guess what you can come out with? You can come out with a serial killer who has absolutely no remorse for anything whatsoever. Kill somebody. No apology, no nothing. You say, what's wrong with a person? Well, he's demon-possessed. He's got a heart problem. His heart is so now hardened off, he can't even feel natural emotion. How would you feel natural emotion? I mean, not feel natural emotion with somebody screaming and yelling and hollering and begging for mercy. How could that not trip your trigger? Well, your heart can get so hardened. I'm going to warn you again. You keep letting these kids mess with these video games. Yes. They start seeing the stuff in real life. And they start looking at that stuff, and the next thing you know what happens to them? They begin to see it like it's a video game. It's not real to them. Yes. Get hardened off by it. It's called the imaginations of the heart.
Yes.
Kids, there are not many of you in here right now, but you got parents and grandparents that forbid you to do that stuff and make you put the stuff up. You better thank God for them.
Amen.
You say, why? They're trying to preserve you.
Yeah.
Trying to help you. You say, why? Folks, you look, you don't take my word for it. Go out and look it up yourself. Look at what the doctors are saying about what that stuff does to young kids. And you can't wait to put an electronic device in the crib with them.
Right.
You do with what you want. It's not going to happen to my kid. Okay, great. You're the exception to the rule, Eve. I get it. I understand. Not going to affect you. It's what the devil said. It ain't going to affect you. I ate it. Didn't bother me. But I know you got it. I know you know. I understand that. I got it. Oh, it's going to happen with my kid. Okay. Time ain't out yet. Time's a revealer of everything. Time will cause purity to rise to the surface, and time winds up testing how you really feel about things, doesn't it?
Yes.
All of a sudden, that little beautiful little 2- and 3-year-old and 5- and 6-year-old, and all of a sudden they're 12 and 13, and you're thinking, what happened to them? Well, it couldn't be what's been being fed into them. Couldn't be. Couldn't be that. Couldn't be sitting around the table talking about the church and talking about the Christians and talking about the preacher and talking about the fallacy of religion and stuff till they get to the point that they're like, well, if that's the case, I ain't going to be no hypocrite. I'm out. I've got all this stuff here, man. That's stuff. And now it's virtual. You strap on an underwater mask and play all kind of games. If that's not true, if it doesn't trick your mind, how come it is that people feel like they're falling and they lay down on the floor? Why won't you look at me when I'm telling you that? What's the problem with that? You say it does affect you. Your mind can't tell the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many of you have ever had a dream before where you wake up in the dream, your heart's pounding, you're sweating, you're thinking, good night, man. I thought Freddy Krueger was after me during the night or something like that. You know what your mind thinks? Your mind doesn't matter. If there's a bear outside the door or you dream there's a bear outside the door, your body responds the same way.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you know what they've tapped into now? They've tapped into fixing that. You say, why? It affects your emotions. You're doing things with what they call virtual reality. Oh, there's a lot more to it than that. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. You ever had the Lord speak to you? I don't mean audibly. You ever had the Lord deal with you? You feel your conscience convicted or you feel like the Lord's comforted? You ever had the Lord do that? What is that? It's a virtual reality, isn't it? Something supernatural, isn't it? You can't see Him physically standing in front of you. No 900-foot Jesus there, is it?
Right?
You ever have the Lord tag your heart and all you're hearing is preaching? The Lord shows you something and you get something right. What is that? Now they're tapping into it. You say, what is it? It's another world. You have a sixth sense. It's not just your physical senses. It's a spiritual sense.
Amen.
Let us cleanse ourselves of the flesh, 1 Corinthians 7, and spirit.
Yes, amen.
These things are determined to you. I speak to thee, their spirit and life. So what are they're tapping into what the Bible taps into? You never saw Jesus, but you believe in Him. You never saw heaven, but you believe in it.
Yes.
You believe in the judgment seat of Christ. You believe in the life after death, don't you? You never saw it. You say, what is that? It's a virtual reality.
Good.
So you know what they do? They give you something to superimpose itself. You say, what? They're trying to lobotomize you. They're trying to replace that place where God dwells. They're trying to replace it with a false reality. So you can go in and play these games and stuff and fulfill all of your illicit fantasies to the point now they're trying to put rules on the game where you can't kill people in the thing because it's different than a video game, which they've been teaching you how to play. But now if you're going to play in these real-life games inside there, you can't go beat somebody up. Or in one case, they're trying to charge somebody with sexual battery in a virtual reality world because of what he did in the virtual reality world. You must not read. I guess you're looking at me like a blinking frog in a hailstorm. You think, well, surely not. Well, why wouldn't you do that? It's just fake. It's just put on, isn't it? You're just dealing with people who are fake and faux names, right? False names. Not real people. Why can't I live my fantasy out? You're messing around with something you got no business messing around. You sooner or later, you know what you're going to do? You're going to run into somebody out there. And it ain't going to be God. And the next thing you know, boy, you are hook, line, and sinker. But that's the big thing now. It's all electronics. That's what your kids want for all their birthdays and all that kind of stuff. Buy them a shovel. It's cheap, it's easy to use, and there's always good use for it. One good shovel will last you a lifetime. There's no upgrades. You don't have to buy upgrades. You just get a shovel, right? Get you a good cast iron frying pan. It's good for a multitude of things. You can cook in it in the fire. You can cook at it on the stove. You can put it in the oven. Don't put it in the microwave. It's not made to do things fast. And if you have to, you can use it as a weapon. Can you imagine? Some of you kids come along, they're picking up that box. Man, wow, this is really something. You know, yeah, it's the lighter, better version of it, you know, and they can't wait to bust it. They bust it. What is this? It's called a frying pan. What do you do with that? Do you know they're eliminating ovens now? Because all people do is use microwave. They don't use an oven. They don't cook anymore. I don't care if you cook or not cook. If you don't, I ain't coming to your house. But if you don't, no difference to me. Whenever we used to have a name for it, we called, I don't mean to be offensive, they called it a Chinese drag line. That's a shovel. And I got pretty good with it. My dad taught me how to use one of those pretty quick. Where I came from, you had to use a pick first to break up the ground, and then you had to shovel it out. But ask yourself a question. The last time a kid had a hand tool for... So you know what? You have kids now. These women in here know more about changing a tire than you men do. So what do? I know what you do. You YouTube it. You YouTube it. How do I do this? YouTube. Why don't you YouTube? How do you read your Bible? Sit on your blessed assurance and open your eyes and start reading. What if I can't read? Go to school. Oh, I don't want to do that. I'll just get Scorable to read it to me. Or Scorby. Pretty good preaching. You say, you're wanting to take us back to the dark age. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm saying nothing long before it replaces how you think. So all they're trying to do is change how you think. So then when you come into a church like this, people are like, this is not for me. I need some entertainment. Okay, well, you get plenty of it at the judgment seat. Oh, boy, will you get some entertainment there. YouTube it. YouTube it. See how that works for you. See if you can learn how to run a figure eight bead on YouTube. Mark chapter number 6. Look in verse number 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. It's the same passage you find over there in Matthew 14 or so. And the Bible says, for they saw him, they were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up to them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were amazed themselves beyond measure, and he wondered. Now watch, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was what? You know what he just said to you? If I fed you, you don't think I can take care of your storm? But their heart was hardened. They forgot all about what God had done for them. Have you ever been there? You ever go through a situation right now? Let me give you one more and we'll take a break. Mark chapter number 8. You ever been through a situation where God's gotten you through? And then you go through another situation. And you doubt whether the Lord's going to get you through or not. You say, what's the problem? The heart problem. The Lord said, I got you through over there. But you know what he said? They didn't consider the lows because their heart was hardened. So now the storm, and the Lord must have forgotten. The Lord said, I hadn't forgot you. I just fed you. But you know what can happen? You can go situation to situation to situation, and your whole relationship can be based with the Lord based on your situation, your geographical location, your circumstances. Well, you don't have much of a relationship. You know what's going to happen if you get married? You say, oh, I'll get married, man. We went on honeymoon. We had a great time. We had good food, and we saw all kind of things and went around and just played like little kids and had a great, wonderful time and all that kind of a deal. You better switch the gears when you get back to the house. You say, why? Somebody's got to go to work. I don't know anybody in here trust fund kids. Somebody's got to wash clothes. I appreciate clean clothes. You appreciate them more than not, because after I'm done on a Sunday, my clothes, they smell like sweat. You say, what happens? Well, between this Sunday and next Sunday, the suit will be out of the cleaners and the clothing will be washed and stuff like that. Somebody's got to wash it. Somebody's got to make the meal. You can't keep piling dishes up in the sink. Somebody's got to wash dishes. I don't care if you do have a dishwasher. They got to go in the dishwasher and then be unloaded. You got to scrub a toilet, don't you? I mean, you ever seen what goes in a toilet? Well, you got to put a brush on it every now and then, don't you? I'm not trying to be gross. You ever look in the bottom of a shower? Don't scrub that shower for a couple of weeks and look at what happens in the shower pan. Where'd all that come from? You? That's part of you going down that drain. Why has that got to turn all black and gunky like that? You? Amen. You're decaying.
Amen.
You ever look around your house? Don't dust it for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
Write your name in the furniture. You say, what is that? That's dead skin. That's you laying all over. It's like you're in a permanent crematory. You're walking through life. You know what you're doing? Time is creating friction. You're burning up, whether you know it or not. It's called aging. Your teeth are rotten. Your hair is falling out and all that. And all of a sudden you think the only place that hair falling out of your head is in the drain. No, it ain't. It's all over your house. You know what you better do? You have to make a, oh, well, guess what? Marriage means I still got responsibility. Amen. See, you better change it. If you don't change your mind, you won't change your heart. And then before long, it's kind of like, well, I didn't sign up for all this. Well, go back and live with mommy, okay? Mommy never cheated me this way. You didn't marry your mommy, did you? Unless you're a pervert. You married a woman and you're supposed to take care of her. Well, how about helping her out a little bit?
Amen.
I don't know how to cook. Okay, I can tell you an easy way around that. Me either. I'm good with eggs and almond butter. I really am. I can whip out a mean almond butter and honey sandwich. But I can bust the suds as good as anybody.
Yes. There you go.
I ain't washing no dishes. You're an idiot. Sure. Amen. I'll let her cook any day and wash the dishes. We'll just order Grubhub. That may be coming to an end before long.
Sure.
You say, why? Because you got to pay all the fees and stuff like that, and a meal winds up costing you $20 more than you wanted to. It's like going to a Stop and Rob. Those names that you get right there are not just because a guy walks in the door and holds them up with a gun. That's because when you walk in there, they're robbing you. You say, why? Because you're paying $10 more than you have to for every item in there for the convenience of it being there. You could drive two more blocks to the grocery store, but you didn't get your lazy, your back end out of bed, and now the grocery store is closed, and you didn't get the bread and milk she told you a week ago you needed to get. And so, well, I'll just run up to the store and get it. Yeah, but when you start counting nickels and dimes and pennies, and then it's kind of like, well, you know, I probably should have done that. How many of you remember the days of cutting coupons? Oh, you ain't lived till you cut coupons, man. Cut coupons out of the newspaper, out of magazines and all that, and put them in a little box, and then you go up there and you're going through the thing. You say, oh, that's embarrassing. Well, that's how you make it sometimes. I got 10 cents off here, and I got a dollar off of there, and I got four for a nickel here, and I got this and that and the other. And by the time you're done, the people are back there in line. You know, and that kind of a thing. Hey, you can look behind you all you want to, but I'm going to get my, you know, maybe we saved $35. You don't get them things from Bed Bath and Beyond? 20% off? You say, no, I just walk in there and get it. Okay, stupid. I'm going to get 20% off? Here's my card. Well, it's only good for one per item. I've got 100 of them. You say, surely not. My car's full of them. You say, well, that's ridiculous. That's being frugal. You say, what is it? It's a pain in the rahunkas, but if they're going to give me that, why wouldn't I take advantage of it? My wife's like, we got to go here. I have a coupon. Don't always go eat at the restaurants that have coupons. That's not always a good thing. Look in Mark chapter number 8. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 16. He reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And Jesus knew it. He saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart? Uh-oh. Yet what? Just two chapters before, you hardened your heart. Your heart's still hard. This is when he's going to feed after feeding the 5,000. Now he's going to feed the 4,000. The Lord said, I fed 5,000 before, plus women and children. Now I'm fixing. But I had you have a storm in between time. You got through the storm, and then here you are again. You say, what is that? Human nature. I'm guilty just as much as you are. God takes care of us and takes care of us and takes care of us and helps us and helps us and helps us and helps us. And then we come to another problem. We're like, oh, Lord, I don't know. I'm just not really sure. And the Lord's like, what's the problem? It's a heart problem. Father, bless your word and be with us as we pray in the upcoming service. And thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.